Well, welcome back, everybody, to the CCV Students Podcast. We're glad you're here today. This is your host, Eric, as usual. We are sans Jared right now, RIP, but he'll be back. I am here with a former guest and a new guest. So I have Leo Galarza back again.
Yes, man, it's so good to be here with you again.
It's good to be here
it's
with you.
It's fun hanging out.
Oh, it's always a good time. Yeah. Might as well just roll mics. But he has also brought another member of his team, Leah Zielich, right?
Yes.
I should know how to pronounce your name.
Well done.
But I'm nervous every time.
It's scary.
It is. It's very fancy sounding. Anyway, you two work together with junior high here at the Peoria campus, and you're awesome. And before we talk about what we want to talk about, I just learned moments ago, breaking news, that you have a tale of chasing your dreams in the big city right after college.
It's a movie. It should be a movie.
It should be. There's got to be a script in development somewhere.
It's true. So my best friend and I, we were graduating college and everybody was getting married because we were at a small Bible school and we were not. So we decided we should do something amazing. So we moved to New York City right out of college. She was pursuing acting and I was pursuing dance. And I got out there, realized I had to pay my bills, went to some auditions. It was terrifying and decided this is not for me. So I just got a job and paid my bills and lived in the city and it was amazing.
So you got a job and stopped going to auditions? You just like gave up on dance but stayed in New York?
This is true, yeah.
Okay.
You kind of have to commit to one or the other. And if I wanted to actually pursue dance, I was going to have to be a waitress or a bartender. And I was not really loving the unpredictability that came with it all.
That is fair.
Yes. How mean were the people that were doing the auditions? Were they just extremely horrible human beings?
It was very intense. It was, I mean, you could feel judged the entire time and even among all the other people. So, but I learned while I was there, you kind of have to put in 6 to 7 years of auditioning before you're really considered.
Oh, gosh.
So that's why I thought, you know, I don't know that I want to commit my whole life to this.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was a dance teacher and still had my dance fix. It was great.
Wow. How long did you live there before you moved away?
I actually only lived there a year because right before I moved there, I met my now husband. And so long distance relationships, I did not enjoy. We were not really cut out for that. The telephone life was not fun. So
that was back then, telephone.
Yeah.
That's we did not have FaceTime.
You just made.
Yeah. No FaceTime was available in the day. That just showed my age. But yeah. So moved back and we got engaged and got married and it was worth it.
That's awesome. Yeah. But you have these great memories of chasing your dream.
Yes.
Did your friend become a successful actress?
Ironically, she was in the exact same boat as me where she started dating the guy she's now married to. And so same thing played out. She moved back. We moved back together and ended up getting engaged and married and the rest
chasing,
is history.
Chasing a different dream.
We did.
And now you work here.
And now here I am. Yeah. Here we go.
Yes. Beautiful family. Yes. Two awesome kids.
Two
great
kids.
Husband. Matt's a stud.
Yeah.
Matt's awesome.
Sounds way better than a professional dancer in an overcrowded city.
It's true. It worked out.
I mean, I might be biased because I'm not a dancer, but...
Concrete jungle, man.
Yes.
Where dreams are not made of. Alicia Keys was wrong.
She was. How dare she?
Wow. She's going to hear this and she's going to be so mad at you.
If you're listening, you're a liar, Alicia Keys.
Wow. We're going to have to get our legal team on this to make sure we can air this or we have to cut it out. Okay. Well, moving on, because I don't have a better segue from throwing shade towards Alicia Keys right now. This is the first part of a three-part series we're about to drop. Talking about sort of the different age groups of students that we work with, because coaches of all types are listening. Some focus just on junior high. Some have you know freshmen through seniors in their group. But we all know if we spend any time working with students, there's a big difference between a seventh grader and like a senior.
Yep.
Even a sophomore and a senior. There's just so much change happens in the handful of years that we work with in student ministry. So we want to kind of just zoom in on sort of two-year brackets and just talk about some of the unique challenges and unique opportunities and how to best reach these kids where they're at that level. So we brought in two of our greatest junior high experts to talk about 7th and 8th graders, arguably the most awkward of the years. Because nobody gets out of junior high thinking, that was the best 2 years of my life.
I think you look back at pictures in junior high and you just know, wow, that was rough.
Oh man.
It was rough.
It was, this is an aside that's taking up time, but just last night, somehow I was a JNCO jeans guy, which dates me.
Yes.
Way back in the day. And my wife was pulling up pictures on her phone to show our kids, and they could not fathom.
Those were the super baggy.
Super huge. I have a size 14 foot and they would cover my entire foot. They were that big. Wow.
Everybody needs to go Google an image of this because yes. They are incredible.
Yes.
JNCO.
Yes.
JNCO jeans.
All of the coaches who 97% are too young to have any idea what we're talking about, look them up. It was an awkward time, but in the time, I thought, I am the coolest person in the world right now.
Yeah. Everyone was wearing them. You were cool.
I was so cool. And I fought with my mom for years to get those things.
Eric, as we talk about junior high, both you and I are going to have kids that will be in junior high within five months?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary. Terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Parents are always like, oh, you just know. You know, you've been in student ministry for so long. Yeah. You just know. You're an expert. I'm like, no.
It is so different.
Yeah.
When that little pubescent person is in your house eating all your food and yelling at you for no reason.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy. And we're at the tip of the iceberg. And mine's an adolescent boy. I don't have a teenage girl for another good long while.
Yes, a beautiful daughter who is just going to chase her dreams, just like Leah.
She's going to be in New York dancing at some point. love it. Okay. Well, here, let's as we talk about 7th and 8th graders, let's just move into some content, some insight you guys have to share. What is like a major or maybe a couple of the most major challenges that you guys see in front of 7th and 8th graders right now?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. We are seeing some dynamics I have not seen in youth ministry yet. And I would say it's not a new total new dynamic in youth ministry, but the scale has changed. So, you know, when you look back at 2020 at the beginning of the year, we go into online school as a junior higher, you head into a long summer, and then you're back in online school in the fall. And then if you're back in school, some days you're pulled out for a week or two and then brought back in. And so we're having junior hires home alone for extended periods of time. And now that we've kind of been working through these press-on calls and having more conversations with parents over the past 2-3 months, what we're identifying is a lot of our students are struggling with severe social anxiety. They're afraid to leave their home, even to go to school. Parents are battling with their students on an ongoing basis just to get them to show up at school. And the same is true for church. So, you know, we think about our 7th graders who didn't get a camp experience this year to really bond with their small group. They have not had that chance yet. And so I know our coaches have been feeling that, where it's been hard to kind of bridge the gap to create community among these students. And all these students are feeling anxious in this social setting and feeling like, I don't know how to belong. I don't know if I have a place. And maybe even struggling to identify that they really need community more than ever at this time. Research shows that social anxiety typically reveals itself around age 13 if you're prone to it. And, you know, you think of all the factors at this specific time period that are contributing. We're seeing more students deal with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, again, let's go back to we're talking about 7th and 8th graders, and socially they're still developing, and we have removed a big chunk, if not the majority, of their social interaction. You know, school is a huge part of that, and that's how they develop and they learn just common, hi, my name is, and I'm making eye contact, and you know, now they're not even showing up for their class online. So you can ask any student, all of their cameras are off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the cameras are off.
They're not even in the room.
No, they're not even in the room. And so all those, you know, all the social interactions that they are used to having have been removed because of, you know, because of COVID. And we're seeing a lot of, we're seeing a lot of anxiety. We're seeing a lot of just social need for them. And they don't have a community anymore. They don't have a community anymore. And so it's rough, man.
Yeah, man, that is bleak. but do you have, outside of 2020 being psychotic, which plays a huge role, obviously, is there, do you see or just kind of infer a root, maybe deeper than that, maybe on the spiritual side, that's leading to or enhancing some of this extreme social anxiety?
Yeah, you actually read a book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I love that.
For once,
you actually kudos, read a book.
Leah.
Yes,
well, Leah knows how to read. She's not just a dancer.
Yeah, so you know, coaches. Right now, a book came out just before the onset of COVID, which I think the Lord's hand was in the midst of it all. But Jenny Allen released a book. Gosh, at the moment, I can't remember the title of it. Get Out of Your Head. That's what it is. Perfect. Get Out of Your Head, and. She makes a statement, which is really profound. She says, the most important battle of this generation is taking place in the mind. And, you know, I think the enemy wants more than anything to take us down, and he wants to take down our students. And the best way you can do that is in isolation and in the stillness and quietness of your own mind. And so we believe that this social anxiety is... it's hidden. It's behind closed doors. And these students are wrestling with this internally on a daily basis. We know that most people have between, I think it's like between 8,000 and 60,000 thoughts a day. And we're prone to thinking negative thoughts. I'm probably on the 60,000 thoughts a day spectrum.
I'm like, do I think that much? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, 75% of those thoughts prone to negative. And so we know this. We know our students are dealing with this. And so what we can do to help them, you know, kind of combat this root issue is we can show them scripture. We can point to the fact that we can retrain our minds in the way that we think and what we focus on. And we see throughout the New Testament, Paul saying, hey, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Or Philippians 4:8 says to fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So as a 7th and 8th grader, when you're terrified, like I can't go to that thing because I don't have any friends, or I don't want to show up because it feels safer in our home. We've got to remind ourselves, no, it's dangerous to be in isolation. We are created for community. And we have a choice when that thought pops up to combat that thought with the truth, which is we need to have community. You aren't alone. Lots of people are dealing with this. All the students in your group are looking to one another, and they're nervous. They're nervous to be back in a social setting. And you can rely on one another and talk about it, because it's really in our struggles where we, like God has made us that in our struggles, that's how we really connect, and we can form that community through our struggle.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, they're isolated from other people. However, they're constantly online, and so let's say you have a thought, right? Let's just go completely opposite. You're having a suicidal thought.
Okay,
as a 7th or 8th grade student, and I guarantee you, you can go online and find a community that's going to agree with what you're thinking that will lead you into that point of really thinking, planning, and even attempting to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And so that's where they're finding their community. Because again, you're having all these thoughts. You're not around people who are challenging you. You're not around people who love you and believe in you. Because parents are trying to figure out their own thing right now. Because if you're a parent out there, God bless you. It's so tough. I have, you know, 3 kids at home, and 2 of them are doing homeschool, and my wife is a saint. But again, you're having students in front of a computer. They have so much access right now. They can justify any thought that they have, good or bad, because there's an influencer out there that was going to agree with them and is going to tell them it's fine. You know, just keep thinking like that. It's okay if you're thinking like that. And so we have all these multiple truths, right? Quote unquote truths that are out there. And that's what they're going towards. They're not going towards God's truth, towards, you know, towards Jesus. They're going towards those influencers. And it's scary.
Yeah. So what do we as coaches, like how, maybe there's some creative ways or just practical ways, how can we address these challenges with our isolated students whose thought lives are kind of a mess?
And I think something that we really take for granted, it's the parent connection. There are times that maybe some coaches, either, you know, if you're a junior high coach who's a high school student, you're probably thinking, man, parents are not going to listen to me, right? Or maybe you're, you know, college age, who's leading, or maybe even an adult. And as adults, we tend to go back to, man, back in my day, when I was in seventh or eighth grade, this is how I dealt with it. Stop. You need to stop, because it's no longer how it was when I was in junior high. Eric, when you were in junior high, Leah, when you were in junior high. Unless, you know, there was a pandemic going on and you had all this access to whatever it is that you wanted back in your day, then you can relate, but now you don't. And so that mentality that we have of, well, this is how I dealt with it in the past. There's some things that you can pull from that, but it's so new. It's so new. And parents need to know that we are there with them and for them. We need to be partnering with parents. We get our students for at least 1 hour a week.
On a good week.
Yeah. And so attention span within that hour that you have them is probably what? 15 to 20 minutes? And I'm maybe.
For the high achieving students.
So, you know, that's something that we have to think about. Like, how can we get more? How can we get the full story? And parents know the full story. And this whole idea of like, well, parents don't want to, they don't want to be involved in this. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt. There's no room for us to assume that parents don't want to be involved in kids' lives. And so as much as we can partner with parents, an email, a text message, something to just get the whole story of the family and see what's going on at home, that can really help us just get a better picture of what's going on in the student's life. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I would even kind of emphasize a little bit that if you can make a phone call, like if you've got a student roster and you can split that up among your co-coaches and you can just call the parent and say, hey, you know, maybe it's a student you haven't seen in a while. We've noticed they haven't been here. And we know that junior hires right now, they need community during this season more than ever. And so we just want to check in, see how they're doing, see if there's any way that we can help out. Parents have been so responsive to that this year and so grateful that we've thought about them and their student and their family. I've had a couple situations come up in the past couple months where after having a conversation with a parent, we've been able to identify, okay, the family does not feel comfortable sending their child to church under the current COVID situation that we find ourselves in. But when we explain, hey, we do small group time outside, what we've found is the family's okay sending their student to just small group time, which you and I know is the most important time that we have each and every week. And so being able to present that as an option, hey, come to just small group. We will text you as soon as we're headed out to group. It's about 20, 30 minutes into the service, and we can still connect with your student and provide encouragement and community and all of that. Parents are on board with that. And then for those students, we've seen this a few times now where we've got students that are terrified to even do the group thing because they have been so used to staying at home all the time. We've got coaches that have been going the extra mile and getting together with just that student at a Starbucks or at a park to be able to check in and just really help this student during this unique season of ministry and life. And I know That's a big ask. I know for some of you, you hear that and you think, oh my gosh, I'm already managing this list. But our role as coaches is we're trying to build the kingdom of God here right now. And so I hope that you see that your role in this matters. Make sure you set up healthy boundaries, have a full day of rest. But when you have time, you can combat that with a co-coach and really reach people during this unique season.
And I think too, like it's very easy for us to give up when a student doesn't text us back, when we mm-hmm. probably get the very nice response, you know, the K instead of they even spelling okay or thank you for your text message or
which to them is just normal.
It's speak. Just normal. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my daughter always just, yeah. That's the way she
the old guys
texts.
Like us, I know, it I'm feels like, passive aggressive, yeah. But that's just how they talk.
Just say it. but don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You're doing your part and you're doing a phenomenal job. I mean, if I can just, you know, as a student pastor, I think all three of us here, man, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for what our coaches are doing. And you are not alone. Don't think that you're ever alone. Don't think that you're, you know, that you just have you have 10, 15 students that you have to manage all on your own. Like we are here mm-hmm. with you and for you. And don't be discouraged. Like even that student that maybe cussed you at one time. I had that happen multiple times.
It's a badge of honor.
Those are the ones that in a few years are going to come back.
That's true.
And those are the ones that in a few years are going to ask you to be part of their wedding or ask mm-hmm. for advice. And so just keep going. We're planting seeds. Our job is not to save students. Our job is not to take them to heaven. Our job is to share the gospel of Jesus with them and be there for them. So just keep going.
Dude, that's some great encouragement. All right, as we get to the end here, the last couple things, let's get super, super practical, especially for seventh and eighth graders. It can be easy when you're dealing with junior hires to think like, yeah, they're just so young, you know, like they're in that weird hybrid. They're not kids. They're not fully autonomous teenage people. So how can coaches really challenge junior hires in their faith in, you know, a life stage appropriate way?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, we've got to challenge our students to really retrain their mind. If they're in a thought process that's negative or fixated on things that the world is teaching them or just kind of stirring up confusion, I would say help them realize they have choice. They've got power over their thoughts and to keep their thoughts focused on Jesus. Because the reality is this student that is sitting in your circle, man, they have purpose and influence right now. They are perfectly positioned among their friends, in their groups, at their school to make a difference to the people around them. And we need to help empower them, help them see like you are making a difference and you can spot out the people that are maybe hiding away in the shadows or are terrified to just show up or are uncomfortable to speak and share their opinion. And so really draw that out of people, help them see their voice matters and their perspective matters and the things that you're interested in, they're probably interested in too. So you have such purpose and influence as a junior hire. So we've got to help our students see that.
Hey, can you say that one more time? The retrain your mind. Say it again.
Yeah, we've got to retrain our minds.
Man, I have to do that.
Yes, I do too.
I think we all do. And again, that's a connection point with students for us. Like yep. It's not, you're not just challenging them, but you're jumping into that process with them. Hey, Billy, you know what? I've seen you think like this or speak like this. I have to get better at it because, you know, as your coach, I want to tell like I am challenging you, but you're challenging me as well. And as soon as we make those connection points, man, they're again that purpose, that mission that they have, they're gonna get a hold of it a lot more. And coaches, we here at the PRA campus for our seventh and eighth grade coaches, we tell you guys all the time, but I believe that every single student pastor at a CCB campus is telling you this, your voice matters. And it's so important right now because, again, your voice is communicating the truth of Jesus Christ. Your voice is communicating the purpose that He has for your students. Your voice is communicating that hope that comes by knowing Jesus. So don't ever, ever forget that. And your voice is heavy, you know, like it carries weight. So again, man, just remember that your voice matters.
Man. All right. So wrapping up, super like a coach can end this episode. What can they do today to reach out to help their student?
Yeah. Pray. Really, don't ever underestimate the value of prayer for your students. Because that reminds us all that we are doing we're here to do the job of Jesus. So it's not our job to save them. It's not our job to take our students to heaven. That's only something that Jesus can do. So our job is to pray for your students and pray specifically, pray for their mental health, pray for their emotional health, for their families. And you will see change. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that you will see change once you establish just prayer in your praying for your students daily. And that's something that we ask our coaches for 7th and 8th grade is one prayer a day. Like just it takes 2 minutes, you know, just and pray by name for each one of your students. So that's something that you can do right now.
Yeah.
Actually stop this podcast right now. Push pause.
Yeah. Pause.
And pray.
Yep. And then push play again.
Welcome back.
And then the second thing I would say is to reach out. Remind that student that they belong. It helps them see, hey, it's been noticed that I've not been around. These people care about me. So reach out. Follow the promptings that the Spirit puts on your heart. I think that happens all the time where I'll be driving along and I think of someone and I'm like, oh yeah, I should reach out to them. Do it. Like, don't ignore that prompting. I don't think it's there by accident. So just, you know, through your prayer, acknowledge the promptings of the Spirit and reach out.
Another thing that you guys can do right now is the students that you have coming to your campus, to your group every single week, involve them in the process of reaching out to their peers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, back in my day, I remember, you know, my youth pastor used to call me, my youth coach used to call me, but when I got a text message from one of my buddies from my small group saying like, dude, where have you been? Like, I miss you. That meant so much more.
Yeah.
Because they noticed, you know, it's not in kind of student thinks, well, my student pastor has to notice that I'm gone. You know, that's what they're
there
for.
He's just trying to save his job.
Yeah. My coach has to because the student pastor is reminding the coach that he has to call me. But when a buddy, when a friend calls you and is calling you out, hey, where have you been? And I think we need to involve our students in the area of reaching out to those who haven't been back.
Yeah. Find those leader type kids in your group and deputize them almost. Yeah.
It's a good word.
Well, you know, we like to also incorporate a vocab word of the day into the podcast.
There it is.
Today's was deputize. Look it up. Guys, Leo, just really just fun to say.
That's the only reason we're in the same team.
Yes.
Thank you so much. So much good information, just a good heart behind it all. I mean, there's lots of tactical, practical things, but just a great reminder what a privilege it is to serve these awkward junior high students that we love so much. And man, just the work that God is doing, even in the midst of the incredible challenges these students are facing right now. So coaches, thank you for giving us some of your time and for all that you do. Please go pray for your students, reach out to them, deputize some students to help you reach out.
Google the word deputize.
Yes, dictionary.com.
And JNCO. JNCO jeans. Yes. Don't forget.
Please. Yes.
JNCO. Very important. Wow. If you can find a pair, buy them. Please bring them back.
And
I
that
will
was
be
like
so happy.
Pre-beard too, because yes. You have a pretty hefty beard.
I do. This is since I can't wear JNCOs anymore without getting laughed at. I have now gone to the large beard.
We definitely need to get a photo of Eric actually wearing these.
Can we post a photo
we
of
should.
You as
yes.
like in the podcast?
Yeah.
I probably. I'll have to talk to our tech department.
Yeah. We'll did you see. Wear the chain too?
I had at one point. I had a double wallet chain.
Oh my god.
I was that cool.
I did not remember
my
the chain.
Gosh.
I was oh, yeah. full skater punk yeah. for a good long time.
Spiky hair?
Spiky, bleached hair. When it wasn't that, it was the butt cut.
Yes.
Played drums in a bunch of like grungy rock bands because I was just an angst-ridden
we would have been
crazy
friends.
Person. We would have. And
friends.
I always say my wife and I didn't meet in junior high or high school because she would have hated me. And I would have probably hated her at the time.
But. So you bleached your hair?
I bleached it at least once, maybe twice.
So here's a fun story. My hair is really dark. Like it's pitch black.
Yes.
I tried to bleach my hair because I was super into all the fun stuff that you were into as well. that was early 2000s, baby.
Yeah,
let's
it
go.
Was a great time.
Let's go. But my hair, I came out of the bathroom and my hair was orange.
Yes.
Because oh. it was so dark. Oh. And it burnt like it burns when you bleach your hair.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, I'm not doing this again. It was horrible. So I had orange hair for a couple weeks, and I just bust my hair.
And do we have a photo of that? That might need to
no, I burned
go with
every
the photo too.
Single one of these pictures.
I think my
darn
mom
it.
Still has a box of photos yeah. that I am afraid will see the yeah. light of day one of these days.
All my friends, their hair looked amazing. And I was like, oh, cool. Whatever.
I'm going to do that.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. You gotta play the hand you're dealt.
Yes.
I don't know. All right. Sorry. As much as I would love to turn this into a long podcast about the glories of the early 2000s, let's get out of here. Coaches, thank you again for listening. If you're still with us and haven't moved on to another podcast by now, we always say it. We fully believe it. When the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. So thank you for all you're doing.